It's always an honor to be in this spot. I hope you guys know my deal with the Lord. The first 2 minutes are me, so you'll hear the quaver and the shaking, and you'll see my knees knocking, and then you'll know when God takes over. I've already apologized to the translator ahead of time. I will try to keep on track. So I'm excited to share what I feel like God has placed on my heart during this season of prayer and fasting. Fasting is not my forte. I am very selfish where it comes to comforts. I like food. I like coffee. I like stuff. And it seems like God always, always wants exactly what I feel I don't have any of, or what I don't want to give up. 1 year he told me no coffee, 40 days, no coffee. This year he said, I want your time. For those of you that don't know, I've taken on 3 kids. I have no time. I have no time, folks. But when God says he wants your attention, you say, yes, sir. Whatever you want. So please pray for me. I don't do this well, but we will get through it. Today we are going to start in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 10. We're going to read a lot of scripture today, but God's word has the power to change us right where we need it. So Daniel 3, verse 10, some astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue. When they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, that decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods, and they do not worship the gold statue you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my God or to worship the gold statue I've set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods. We will never worship the gold statue that you have set up. So the title of my message today is Even If. Will you guys pray with me and for me? Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name that we will all bow to someday, sometime. And God, we just declare your majesty in this place. Holy Spirit, we just ask your presence to come. Lord, there is nothing I can say that will do anything in this place, but if you come, if you take over, lives will be touched and changed because it's you and your power. And I thank you for it ahead of time. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's pick up the story. I'm going to try to get through this, but I've already told Matt I will probably be a pile here in the floor before it's over with, and that's okay, right? We're family. We're family, right? So let's pick up the story in verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up, threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them, nor a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. There are times in our lives that we're all going to walk through where we will wonder where God is. We won't see him. They won't make sense to us. "God, I am serving you faithfully, and my car is broken down in my driveway. God, I have walked the way I think I'm supposed to walk, and yet my house is falling down around me. There's so much that needs to be done, and I do not have the money to pay for this." Where are you, God? I remember one really specific incident in my life where that happened. I was living in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was sitting in a doctor's office, and I hear what I know now to be the voice of God saying, "Lynn, you have cancer, but don't worry, I've got this." I said, "Get behind me, Satan, you're a liar." And I remember this like it was yesterday. The guy comes in the office, the doctor, and he pulls his little wheelie chair up and plops down. And he says, "We have to have a chat." And my heart sunk because I realized that God was trying to prepare me for what was coming. God, where are you? I'm a pastor. How can cancer live in my body? How can you allow this thing to happen to me? We're all going to face times like that. The same things we experience, the guys in the Bible, they experience too. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a choice to make in a split minute, in a split second, and it wasn't easy by far. They had to make a decision. Wouldn't it have been much easier if they had said, "We can bow just this one time. Nobody's really going to know. Just once." It would have definitely been the easier road. But they wouldn't have been walking in obedience to God. How many times in our lives have we been at that same crossroads and we've had the same decision to make? The three Hebrew boys made the decision that even if they were facing the fire, that even if God didn't show up, even if they faced death, even if they burned in the fire, they would do what was right in God's sight. They walked in total obedience. The problem is that we expect God to move like we want him to. And we want to give him instructions. Hey, God, can you move like this at this date and this time the way I want it done? God doesn't work like that. At least he doesn't in my life. If he does in yours, maybe we need to have a chat afterwards. You come up to me and tell me how to work it. He's never, ever done that for me. So God's plans are not our plans. Isaiah 55 and 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." God wants us to develop some faith that says, even if you don't do what I think should happen, even if I have to begin again, even if I have to come back and do this 7 times more, I'm going to walk the way you tell me to walk, God. I have some friends that had a problem promise, and I feel like this may be some of you today. My friends had a promise that they were going to have a baby, and she was nearing 40, and he was my age, so they had tried everything. Despite everything that they tried, my friend couldn't conceive. So they decided they were going to do foster care, and they would get a baby like that. They fostered several kids, and they got a newborn from the hospital. And I remember the first time we seen them, and I remember how elated they were, how happy they were that this little boy was in their life. The mother had relinquished her rights at birth because of a domestic violence situation. She didn't want anything to do with the birth father, so she gave this child away. My friends were assured that the father was in jail, and pretty much they could have this child. They could adopt him, and this baby could be theirs. It was the promise of God for them. They nurtured, they cared for him. This cute little boy was named Trenton, and I remember he was my other grandson. I got to sugar him up and send him home. That's what grandparents do. And he was so cute, and he got to be about 1 or 2, and all of a sudden the dad came out of jail, and some judge ordered that he could have custody of this child. My friends were, needless to say, devastated. They held on to the promise of God, and they pressed on and into him. And they fostered several more kids, one whom died in the birth parent's custody after they were reunited. One day, though, my friend found herself pregnant. And they just were so over the moon. They were finally going to have this promise, this child that God had promised them. It was finally coming to pass. Until my friend went into premature labor and had a baby that was 2 pounds. He could literally fit in the palm of your hand. They have pictures of him. He was in a shirt pocket. And my friend, on top of all of that, had a stroke while delivering the baby. So they didn't know what the prognosis was for her. They didn't know what was going to happen to this child. The promise of God. Again, they came to a crossroad of whether or not God would be faithful. And even if he wasn't, what would they do? My friend recovered. She's actually doing quite well. Her baby boy had several obstacles to overcome. He stayed in the NICU for a long, long time. But today, he is thriving, and he is healthy, and he is 20 years old. God is faithful. Even if I get a bad report, even if God doesn't do what I expect, even if I have to wait, even if my kids aren't serving you right now, God, you are still faithful. We need some even if faith up in here. Every single one of us are going to come to those places in our life. We're going to get to that crossroad, and we're going to have to make that decision. Will I serve you even if? I will tell you, I have faced that crossroad. It's almost funny because I sent Pastor Matt this sermon because he preached part of it a few weeks ago. And I said, God, I can't believe you let him preach my message. I know he wasn't in my living room yesterday when I was typing it out. So anyway, when he told the story about the food pantry and how God told him to open it 7 days a week, Pastor Matt says, we're going to open the food pantry 7 days a week. Okay. I go back in the back and I'm looking. Oh, gosh. Lord, I've drunk the Kool-Aid, I said. I'm in big trouble now. Either you are going to come through in a big way, or gosh, we're in trouble and we are going to be the laughing stocks of Green Bay, and they're going to show us the door, all of us. But I believe Pastor Matt hears from God, or I wouldn't be here. So we started putting food in bags, and Heidi Leeshon, you're a witness to this. There were days we put food and plastic knives and magazines and anything we could to fill those bags, but we always had food. Always. And God has never, ever, ever failed us. If you go back there and look, see, that's what I do sometimes. I go back in that room and I look and I say, $0.00. You are good. You are good. Even if he hadn't done that, he is still good. Even if it didn't happen the way we thought it should, he is still good. Just like a few weeks ago, he also talked about the widow woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. We give what we have. She gave what she had. She gave the man of God what she didn't have, actually. She was going to make a cake for herself and her son. They were going to die. But she gave first. She told God, whatever I have is yours anyway, so I might as well just give it, right? I'm going to die anyway. So even if, but maybe, just maybe, God, you'll show up, right? So there's a saying in ministry that God is never early, never, ever, ever, ever early, but he is always on time. We don't see the provision until the time we need it most of the time. That's just the truth of things. If he gave it to us ahead of time, it wouldn't be faith. It would be presumption, because we would get that way. We would think he owed it to us to show up early. He doesn't owe us. We owe him. I personally lived these principles out my whole life, ever since I've become a Christian. I've never had what I needed and then moved. I've always moved and then had what I needed. When Ronaldo and I decided to come here, I made a decision to leave my job. We had nowhere to live. I remember my coworkers in Phoenix going, you're going where? Well, where are you going to live? What are you going to do? I don't know, I said. They said, yeah, you're crazy. Maybe so. For the first time in my life, though, I thought that I would truly be homeless. I remember wondering if I had truly heard from God. It was probably the hardest transition I've ever faced. When I went to New York, I was talking to Julie about this earlier. I went to New York, this kind of the same principle, except that I had a ministry apartment. Well, if you want to know what ministry apartments are, check it out before you decide to live there, okay? And I knew I had a job, kind of. Not very well paying job, but we wouldn't starve. Amber started ninth grade, so my baby, I'm dragging her along beside me going into Brooklyn, New York with a freshman in high school. We get there, and 1 month later, 9/11 happens. You talking about somebody feeling crazy? Mm-hmm. That was nothing, though, compared to what we went through when I came here. And see, I believe that all those things that happen in our life like that are preparation for the next battle. There will never be a day that I do not face a battle. Never. And there will never be a day that you do not face a battle. We are in a war for souls, a war for this city, a war for this nation. We are in the war for people. The devil is not going to lay down and say, okay, go ahead, have it. That's not the way he operates, folks. So anyway, I remember the struggles when we came here. I remember the struggles with the dialysis center, trying to get the right treatment for Ronaldo. I remember his whole body being broken out with hives from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I remember the trips to Madison and then Milwaukee, and him being rejected from the transplant list. I remember him struggling severely every single time with depression, and me trying to encourage him, but God will come through somehow. I don't understand, but I know he has never, ever failed me. And there were times that he did the same for me because it was his idea to move here. I'm just saying. I wanted to go back to New York. But you know, what I really want is to be where God wants me to be. I remember trying to buy our house. We literally got beat out like 9 times out of deals. Nope, somebody else got it. We even offered one guy $10,000 more than what he was asking. And he said, nope, I'm going to sell it to this guy. And I remember thinking, God, where in the world are you? We have been obedient. We have literally sacrificed everything. My great salary. Our no winter environment. At the time, our beautiful granddaughters, my kids. And I also remember being determined that even if God didn't answer, I would keep putting one foot in front of the other foot, because where else can we go? We cannot, even if we decide to go the other way, we can never escape His presence. The psalmist said it best in Psalms 139, 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. God has you in the palm of his hand. You cannot escape him. You cannot escape his presence. You cannot, there's nowhere you can go that he isn't. And he's got you where he wants you. If not, you'd be somewhere else. In a horse race, the trainers, they use blinders on both sides of the horse. right? That they work with. These blinders keep the horse on track. It keeps them from being distracted. It keeps them from looking at what is around them. Maybe we need to ask God to put some spiritual blinders on us so that we're not distracted. Or what are the things that are going around you more important than what God's doing? Are you easily distracted? See, I can be easily distracted. I tell everybody, I think I got adult ADHD and nobody diagnosed me because I feel like this most days. So I really have to focus. And now I know that's why God said, Lynn, I want your time. Because he wanted to speak to me during the season. He wanted to make me look at some things that I had shoved under the rug. He wanted to use this time in my life so that he can get glory from it. Proverbs 4, 25 through 27 says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right nor to the left and keep your feet from evil. God wants us to focus on him and what he is doing and not look around us. Sometimes I think comparison is our worst enemy. We compare ourselves to everybody else. What is she doing? How did she get up there? You don't know how I got up here? Cleaning toilets, shoveling food. Come along, help. You can have this. Yeah, I just need the help, so I'll take it. Paul is my absolute favorite character. I know I talk about him quite a bit, but I relate to him so much. God had to knock him clean off the horse to get him on track. But bless the Lord, when he got it, he really got it. He went all in. He was steadfast. He never wavered. He was full on for God. Most of us are like this. We're like the gymnast on the balancing beam, right? And when the problem comes, we want to jump off because we don't have that firm foundation. And we are thrown off by the opposition. Whether or not we follow God and his leading depends on how we feel at the time. If I feel like following you, God, praise the Lord. But if I don't, I'll just take a little break. When Ronaldo and I left New York, I was really tired. I had spent 7 years in New York. I had built a team in Queens. I had ran a really failing indoor site. I was given a lot of hard tasks, and I was just tired. I needed a break from ministry. I believe that when we left, we were in the permissive will of God. God wasn't mad at me because I wanted a break. He knew I was tired. In fact, he allowed it. But looking back, I don't think at that time that I was in his perfect will. I can't even begin to tell you where that perfect will was. He still blessed our time in North Carolina. I was able to spend time and invest in my other grandchildren, which were smaller at the time. He allowed us to train people in a church to do special events. He allowed us to do things and invest in that city tremendously. People got saved. Good things happened. I was even there to take in my cousin's kids when they were removed by CPS. Good things happened. But I knew something was off. I knew that it wasn't perfect. It was just okay. I know now, and I think I talked to Jim Beckers not too long ago about this. I told him, I said, there's a sweet spot, and I can only tell you what it feels like. I don't even understand it, but there's a sweet spot in him where you know that you know that you know that you are in that spot that God has for you, and there is nothing or no one or nothing in all of heaven and earth that is going to move me from that spot. I had to reclaim my peace not long ago because I had really lost it. Just from being battered with all the problems of life and all the people's problems. And we get tired, guys. Sorry, we're human. And God said, get your peace back, Lynn. I said, yes, sir. So I had conversations with people that were not easy. Yep, I won't be answering your call anymore. Have a great life. Sometimes we have to create those boundaries and make things happen for ourselves. If you don't add to my peace, that's it. That's not being mean. That's being where God wants you to be and with whom God wants you to be with. And I'm having to learn that. I'm having to learn that because I've never not answered my phone. I've always answered my phone. Sometimes it's okay to let it go to voicemail. So the sweet spot. You know, people ask me all the time, do you like it here? Ask me in spring. Summer. I tell them the same thing almost every time. I don't think anyone likes the winters here, even the natives. However, I love this church. I have loved this church since day one. Jeannie, John, you guys were an integral part of that. I want you to know that because I know sometimes the greeters think, well, we're just out there greeting people. I love this church. I love every single person here. I love being where God wants me to be. I love this place. It's hardships, it's pain. I can endure those things because I am where he wants me to be. He's called me here. And I can promise you today, I can make this promise that if you do what God tells you to do, if you walk in obedience, if you're willing to make the sacrifices that he's asking you to make, if you don't quit or get weary like I did in New York, if you press on and press into him like you never have before, if you just hold on and don't quit, breakthrough will come. Breakthrough will come. The problem is a lot of times, and I've seen this so often, I told Matt, I have had two jobs because somebody before me quit. Two ministry jobs. I can put my hand on it. I can tell you who the people were. I'm not, but I could. There are other people more qualified to do this, certainly, than me. I am not anything special, but I won't quit. Matt might fire me, but I won't quit. Even if God took my husband in what I thought was too early of a time. Even if people don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. I don't understand either. But I know that I know that God is faithful, even if I don't get it. Pastor Matt.